In the eighth episode of this series, we look at building a team culture of courage, trust, and appreciation. We hear from Maina Kuela, the executive director of Beautiful Gates South Africa, a non-profit organization that seeks to strengthen families, education, and child health in the Philippi community of the Western Cape. Maina shares about the many challenges she faced in winning the trust of the team and community she served. Listen to her story of how she nurtured authentic connections and built a culture of trust under challenging circumstances.
Welcome to Reframed. Join us as we explore the concept of redemptive business in our unique context on the African continent.
My name is Maina Kuela. I am the Executive Director of Beautiful Gate Ministries. We are based in Lower Crossroad, Philippi. We work with three pillars, education, child health, and family strengthening. I started at Beautiful Gate at almost like end of 2019. If anyone works at the NGOs, you know that it's not the time to start. You are in the parties, you're like the president, you meet and greet. So I could say that my job started actually in 2020. I was still excited and still like thinking, oh, how can we do this? And then March, the president and the whole world, and especially South Africa, we had shut down. Now you are a new leader, you are trying to find your feet. It was quite difficult. I had to think of innovative ways. And one of the things that I think we did that I'm very proud of, other than the actual things that we did, was calling us as an organization, the team, to pray every single day until we did our first batch of food parcels. And I had to be innovative in terms of like calling the team and say, what is the needs of the organization? But then for me as a leader, I needed to be strong in a sense of saying like, we will take this back to God and reminding our staff that we are a Christian organization and our foundation is in Him. And then actually we read Psalm 46. You know, and just like God is our refuge in our time of need. And that was for me something that I had to hold on, because you are hit with something that you don't know and you've never led an organization that's so big. And then you have to make these decisions that are not only affecting our beneficiaries, we are affecting how our staff are going to work from home, but also insecurities, because you're like new. And I mean, you don't know whether the funders trust you. You don't know if your staff trust you. You just like, it's just kind of like you and God, to be quite honest, because you like trying to build the team. You are trying to build yourself from the outside world. And you are this person who every time I'm listening to what is Uncle Cyril's game, my fellow South, I became like my fellow South African. What is he going to say? Actually, the previous director, when I asked him, why did you invite me to come? He was like, because I laughed at him three times, because I was like, there are better people who could lead Beautiful Gate. He was like, no, you're the right person. And then I said, why? He says, like, because you, other than being closer and being a black woman, but what he sees me doing at Beautiful Gate, that he thinks that's my strong character, was spiritual leadership and discipleship and how I'm grounded in working with people. So that was his words. And I think that was tested during lockdown, where I had to think about how do I walk alongside people, but how do I lead, but also how do I bring God together? And I was laughing at him because people used to say, for such a time as this, I was like, if somebody says that one more time, I'm just going to lose my temper. And I think I remember one of my passages that I did on the devotions was also looking back at why God brought me and accepting this and saying like, for such a time as this, because God is giving me, in the beginning of my journey, like the strong sense of leading with Him and putting that as part of Beautiful Gate, and be intentional about how we do devotions, intentional about how we pray for our community, intentional how we pray for our beneficiaries. But when I look back, I was like, okay, God knew why he needed me to come at this time, because I had no one else to hold on except Him. So I was born in Guguletu, I like to call it Juju Letoa, and I grew up in Crossroads. The people where we work, they are people who came from the old Crossroads. So we are in Lower Crossroads. So then I went to YWAM to look for Hollywood. Here am I, talking to you now, like Oprah. But I found Jesus in YWAM, and I was not a Christian. And in the DTS, you write your journal. Actually, I saw that journal when I became a director at Beautiful Gate, that I committed myself, even before I became a Christian, to go back and work with my people. And when I went to Beautiful Gate and work with my people, I didn't consider myself as someone who knew what I was doing. But I said, God, you have brought me here. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what you are doing with me. And again, when you take over an organization that is 27 years old, it's not like you are starting your own business. You come in there, there's a culture that exists, and you are not always accepted by your own people. You are not accepted by the other white people. So you kind of like on your own. And then I had to figure out, why is God bringing me to Beautiful Gate at this time in my life? I didn't ask for the job. Actually, they invited me. I was like, as I said to you, I was like, there are better people. So I had to look at myself. And then I have these three concepts that I've seen in my culture, because I think working and leading Beautiful Gateway, it's a cross-cultural community. And obviously, even though I've been involved with Beautiful Gate for 27 years in different aspects, I didn't work for Beautiful Gate. And even though I'm closer, I've always worked in the cross-cultural community in the suburbs and UCT. You know, like I didn't really work in the township. So I came as a learner. But it helped me to dig deeper and saying, like, what strategies that I need for me to be able to lead my people and see the mission? But also, like, it's not easy. I mean, it's not easy when someone takes over and then people don't love you like that. So I had to work out ways of, like, how do I make people to trust me? Like, when I use that analogy of the bus, you will get people when you lead that are behind you 100% immediately they are in. Then you get people that are still waiting for the right person, like the Jewish that are still waiting for the Messiah. But then I had to think about, as Xhosen, there's a thing called ilima. Ilima is a concept that I have an idea of building a house, but I cannot build a house by myself. I need other people. So I make some food and drinks and invite the community to come and build with me. At the end of the day, the house is mine, but I have had the collective, the community building with me. So I had to think of us as Beautiful Gate. We are in the community. How then do we invite the people at ilima and work with me as minor, but then work with others? The fireplace in the African home is in the middle of the house. It's at the center of the house. So I had to think of Beautiful Gate as Izigo laseFilippi, the center in the villages. Everybody sits around in different spaces, but there's conversations about politics, there's conversation about spirituality, but at the center also there's cooking, which sustains people, because then within that, people are getting food, people are being warm, so all these things are done. And then think of Ubuntu. Ubuntu is like we are because of others. And we are not alone, even though as an NGO, even for me as a leader, if I lead alone, I'm going to be alone. But if I lead with my team, if I get people to understand who I am, even though I was new, I had to think of, like, how do I collaborate with people? How do I do this? And also, like, when you work in an NGO, not everybody's a Christian. So I had to come with different things, thinking, who do I bring in to be my prayer warriors? Who do I think that we are here as a community to develop? Who are the people that need discipleship? Then how, as Beautiful Gate, we become the center that people say, I would like to be part of that. But how do we also invite the community? Because you don't always get accepted. It's not like business, you get in. You also need the community to accept you. And sometimes it's harder to do that. When you work in the NGO, we all know that it's most of the people are underpaid or are volunteers. They work long hours. And if a leader doesn't look for incentives to say, well done, for a woman who looks after these other kids, like I told you that we have 25 child and youth care workers. Sometimes they have to wake up in the morning and then make sure that that person's child goes to school, and then they make sure that their children goes to school. And sometimes they have to go back and make sure that that child has eaten. So how do you even appreciate people like that? But I think for me as a leader during lockdown, I had to think of small things like KFC vouchers, which for someone's like, what do you do with KFC vouchers? But also thinking of fighting a way that we will still pay people while it's locked down, while people are working from home. But we will do like on Women's Day, we'll do like goodie bags. Everything was celebrated, even though it was virtually, and giving people like holidays when they have worked long hours. So I think like appreciating them and sometimes calling them and saying thank you, or just record a video of saying like, thank you so much. I know it's not easy, but you guys have done well. You guys have gone beyond the call of duty. Because when you mention people who have gone beyond others, others are also reminded or encouraged that I actually need to go beyond what these other people are doing. Courage was to make decisions that you know that sometimes you're not going to be trusted by your team. People are not going to understand. But I knew that that's what we needed to do. And making sure that they are not losing hope and making that stand and saying like, everyone's going to work from home, and looking at ways on how then people are working from home. You know, when Jesus says to Peter, walk in the water, and Peter says, it's a storm. I had to say, God, I trust you. Some of these decisions are big. Many organizations are closing down. But I want us to make an impact in this community. And also we worked with a community that at once wanted to shut us down. And how the previous director is working with collaboration, and how God made the same people that didn't like us to be part of working out that we were looking after our participants. I think that was like maybe like a biggest trust that we had with them, because 2018, they were ready to shut us down. They didn't want us. And then in 2020, God is making us to work so well together for, you know, like when Paul says contending together side by side in Philippians for the community. I mean, of course, in Philippians, it talks about for the gospel. But for us, it was for the community of Lower Crossroad that we were giving food for the kids. They were working with some of the families that are not part of Beautiful Gate, using Beautiful Gate as a place where they were getting food, storing stuff, meetings happening there. And I think like some people began to trust my leadership, because now they saw that I was clear. I mean, I laugh a lot, so people might think like I'm dumb 99% of the time. But when I need to lead, as an extrovert as I am, I become so calm because I need God to guide me and guide the team. Where are we going? Is what we are doing glorifying God? And I think that is, for me, something that I'm always having to think about. As I say, like Corona, I think was like a biggest crisis, you know, for someone who is new in the position, that I had to make a decision for the entire organization, but not only for the entire organization, but asking the previous director to be part of the conversation, because I think he was like thinking he doesn't want to take over, because he was asked by the board to be away so that I can set myself. But Corona kind of like came. So, and then I invited him as a doctor, but also to, I think a good leader, you know what you have and what you don't have. So I was inviting him for particular skills that was going to help with. But at the back of my mind also, we were not kind of like not trusted by the community, and he was coming to work with the community. So inviting him to come, but also like I felt like it helped us to look at the community, and the community was able to trust us. We were able to do things with the community. But because we have such trust between the two of us, it was clear for us, but I think it was important for us to display to our staff that there has been a change. But I think even when we were talking with the community, we were together also knowing that we would be clear that I'm working with Beautiful Gate and programs. He would be supporting them, but we would work together. So that, I think that was the biggest crisis, not knowing what you can do, and yet finding that working with your team, trusting them as a team. That's why I like that contending together side by side for the gospel, but for the community of Beautiful Gate. I'm paraphrasing, for Paul says, like we're side by side contending together for the gospel. We were side by side contending for our vulnerable kids and family, and yet protecting our community.
In the next episode of this series, we'll hear from Lerato Tegiso, the Executive Director at TechFest Legal Advisory Services. Lerato will discuss self-responsibility with reference to discipline and stewardship. Subscribe to our channel so you don't miss out.